Hello, good evening, and welcome to Seascapes. For tonight's programme, I've been to Claughahead to look at their new lifeboat, and we'll have a preview of the country's biggest sailing event. Claughahead in County Louth has the newest lifeboat in the country. The Michael O'Brien, a Shannon-class boat, was delivered last month. Claughahead is unique in the country. The lifeboat is launched every time from the beach. During a practice launch, I went on board the tractor, bringing the lifeboat into the waves.
Right, we're clear now. Go ahead, just keep driving, lifting me.
Seamus Boylan is my name. I'm a tractor driver here. And this is Shaney McAvoy, isn't it? There's six of us. Yeah.
What are we doing now?
We're rising up the Neil on the boat for transport out to the beach. Give a room to the tracks that won't damage the...
On the trailer inside the shed, it's very low?
The trailer's inside the shed is low. So we lift it up now, you can see there now how much has gone up, a couple of foot. And then when it's up full, we lift this other ram here, it's a tilt ram to balance the boat. So you see this other ram going up now, that's the tilt ram. It's going up there now. How do you do there, Shaney? So that's it now, we're ready for the beach now.
Big operation getting her out.
It's not a big operation. It just takes a bit of getting used to it, a bit of practice, and take our time more than anything, and just not to rush it, to make no mistakes. It's too much at stake.
Now, this vehicle we're in, it's a specially designed Caterpillar tractor.
Yeah, it's a specially designed Caterpillar tractor. It's driven by a Scania engine, and the trailer is specially designed. But when we go out to the beach now, when we go into the water, we rise it up, you'll see it make a slipway launch, and
you've got very wide rubber tracks.
Yeah, it's just for the beach, as in some of the carriage are driven, but this carriage is not driven, so it's just a tractor that's driving the whole lot. So we will go out now to the water, and we turn round, and the head launcher's in charge, he gives all the directions.
He's the man
on shore there? He's the man in the orange, he's the head launcher. And these are the shore crew, the others in the helmets. They watch all the procedure, keep everybody away.
How long does it take to launch?
I say 5 minutes. We left the boathouse now, 2 minutes out of the boathouse.
We're at the water.
Well, we could go faster, but we're starting up the engine of the boat there now, if you hear them. He's directing us now what way he wants the boat to go. If you see the way he's pointing.
Okay, so he's up there, he's on that one.
Yeah, he's directing us what way he wants the boat. Now he wants it to go straight out as we are now. He hits the waves.
So he's standing up at the helm position.
Now he launched the boat from up there. He's just checking his water depth there now. That's him away now.
Back on shore, the cox of the lifeboat, Tomás Whelehan, told me about Claughahead RNLI.
Lifeboat station's been here since 1899. It was established here, brought down from Drogheda, originally in Drogheda, and brought then located here on the beach, Claughahead. And it's been crewed and manned here by local people for the last 120 odd years.
Yeah. Who are your volunteers typically?
Typically, we have a great mix of volunteers. We have kind of half maritime background and involved in the maritime sector, and then we have a lot of people in as well that are land-based working. So we've got a very good mix of 50-50 kind of people, which is good, you know.
How many volunteers does it take to run a station like this?
Well, we're a carriage line station, so we have a crew and a shore crew and an operations team. So all in all, between crew, shore crew, operations, and everything fundraised, everyone involved, it's up in excess of 50 people involved.
Yeah. You say carriage launch. You're about the only one in Ireland which is launched from the beach.
We're the first Shannon with a Solaris rig to launch at the beach. Yeah, there is another station in Newcastle, County Down, up the coast. They're also in carriage. But we are only, and used to be Kilmore years ago, but theirs was put afloat. But so we are now originally in the south of Ireland, the only station on a carriage launch, yeah.
How does that work in bad weather? Have you ever not been able to go out?
No. It's always been very good. So once it's well briefed, the crew are well briefed what to do in different weather conditions, and everyone knows what's in, it's no problem really. It's a bit dodgy, all right, and per day, but just take your time.
I'm told that in the whole history of the lifeboat station, you've never failed to get afloat.
No, that's true. No, it was a real bad day. Fellas still reminiscing about a day in 1993. I'm not sure what the day it was. It was Force 10 or Force 11 southeast, and they got her off that day. So I wasn't on the crew that day, but fair play to the lads, they got her afloat, yeah.
What kind of call-outs do you get here?
Call-outs, ferries and call-outs from small vessels in difficulty with sailors then, or local. We have a local dredger fleet there. Sometimes we're called out for them as well, you know, with towing, and sometimes with casualty, could have some casualty care to take place then, you know. Somebody got machinery injury or could have a, God knows what kind of a potential health issue on board, you know.
How many call-outs have you had last year, this year?
Oh, last year we had a bit in excess of close to 30 call-outs there last year. And it's been a bit quieter this year now, thankfully, which is good. So hopefully our respect to work and pain is kicking in with people, you know.
So, well, we're only starting the summer, so...
Yeah,
we could have a lot of breakdowns.
We've got a lot of people. It all depends on what traffic and yachts go by and everything else. You know, it's all affiliated with people on the beach and people on the sea and all that, you know. So once they take care of them.
What kind of call-outs have you been on that you remember?
Call-outs? A couple of call-outs there. There's a couple of ones, yeah, kind of... scary ones there, you know, people that have maybe recoveries and stuff like that, you know, and some other ones boats sinking and that, you know, you see them going away underwater, it's got a very real feeling, you know.
Yeah.
But all in all, once the good outcome is the main thing, you know, which is not always as is, but most time it is a good outcome.
If would you have a message for anybody taking to the water?
I would always respect the water. Because it's one thing, it could take in a flash, you know. People should always take heed, and it really could to make sure they keep safe and tell people they're going out and tell people they're going to come back and make sure all their life-saving equipment's up to date. Life jackets as well, it's very, very important.
What kind of difference is this new Shannon class going to make for you?
Oh, it's going to improve our response times considerably, you know. Drastically cut them back, and it's crew comfort and safety as well as casualty safety and being able to assess casualties when taking board, and all in all, it's a fantastic boat.
The lifeboat is a new design, the Shannon class for the RNLI. She'll be called the Michael O'Brien after a bequest from an Irish donor. Padraig Pops Rath is the station mechanic, and he showed me around her.
I've been working here for 18 and a half years, it'll be 19 years full time in October this year. I was a fisherman for 26 years before that. Living in the village here, I've done all my life, and seafaring was made it. All in the family background.
We're here on the new Cloherhead lifeboat, just been delivered, the Michael O'Brien. Tell me something about her.
The Michael O'Brien is the latest developing by the RNLI Shannon class lifeboat. Arrived in Cloherhead on the 2nd of June this year after passaging from Poole.
This is an upgrade of the previous boats that the RNLI had, the Tamer being, I think, the last one. It was a bit bigger than this. What has this one got that those didn't?
The Tamar is the slipway launch boat, can be used to float also. The difference between the Tamar and the Shannon is the Shannon is replacing the Mersey class lifeboat, which is a carriage launch boat for being housed.
It means you launch from the beach here, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, it can be launched from the beach, it can be left to float, but in our case, we are always a beach launched station where we drive down across the beach. Every time, we're the only solely launched, carriage launched boat that goes down across the beach, where we have to drive across the beach every time.
So you're here, you're housed in a shed, we're indoors. We're going to go in and tell me what you've got.
First of all, as soon as we walk in the door, we press the green button. That's going to switch on everything in the boat for us. And the computer then will fire up the boat and leave her ready for going to sea.
Just be careful coming in on the step.
Now it's dark in here, it's everything is painted black.
Everything is black, just to keep the light down for darkness in the night time. We also have the red lights, red and white lights. That light that's on at the moment is just the main light, so if you knock that off, then you can put on your lights here.
So that's going to help you with your night vision?
The night vision and all the rest. Night vision takes you approximately 40 to 45 minutes for your night vision to come back properly. So hence it's the idea of it, everything being dark and then the red lights leaves it far easier to see in the night time. And as you can see here now, all the computers are all setting up. We have, there's five screens, six seats in the wheelers. Five of them have screens. The front on the left-hand side, on the port side, is the helm. Starboard side forward is nav one, which is generally the radar that's been looked after. The coxswain sits on the middle seat on the starboard side. The mechanic on the aft and the second seat on the port side. And we have the navigator down here on the after end of the wheelhouse. And also a seat then for the exit for the sixth crew member, or in the event of a casualty, for a doctor.
Okay, you also then have a place down below here, before we talk about anything else. Is this where you push casualties?
Down in below, down here in the cabin, in the forward cabin, survivors cabin, you're able to strap six survivors in on the seats with
Aircraft seats.
Like the aircraft seats and that, with the double straps and that, sitting in nice and comfortable. That's just the radio setting up. And what we're going to get now in a short period of time, the fault's coming up, so you'll hear all the various alarms that actually come on to the system.
So from here now, on each of your screens, you have helm, VHF, radar, chart, DF, engine, CCTV, hatch, engine, CCTV, mast, CCTV.
Yeah.
Nothing left to chance.
Nothing left to chance. And now you can hear all the alarms. So if we just go to acknowledge all these alarms, it'll take them all down.
That's telling you that something isn't working.
Something is there's a malfunction on something. So if you look here at the helm has a compass, the revs on the engine, because he'll be under instruction from the coxswain who's sitting behind, and as to what revs he needs to, what speed he needs the boat to be moving at. The course then from the navigator sitting down on the after end at the starboard side, he'll be in communication on the headsets. For the intercom system, and it'll be giving them a course to steer to get to the casualty position or whatever we have to do. The radar then, or the nav one, looks after the radar. So he's actually the eyes and that for between the radar and visually for the helm.
Lisa Levins is one of the navigators.
I'm on the crew 24 years. I was the first woman to join the boat here in Clarehead. My current role on the boat is I'm one of the navigators, and I'm also the training coordinator for the station too.
What does that entail?
Okay, so being a navigator, one of the jobs of a navigator is to locate and find the casualty, figure out where they are in relation to weather, tide, and that's to pass that information on to the coxswain so we'll get to the casualty as quick as possible. Then when we're at the casualty, I organise search patterns and stuff and all that kind of stuff to try and locate them. The other job I have in the station is training coordinator, and my job for that is to coordinate all the training in-house. So for the run-up to the Shannon, I was very, very busy in terms of organising everybody for training for the week that the boat came initially. And luckily we have a really good committed team here, and they're really rallying and they do what they're told when it comes to the training.
What's your background to be a navigator on a lifeboat?
I have no sailing experience. I literally grew up watching the boat going out. The maroons went off, and every time the maroons went off, we would have been brought down the beach to see the boat going out, and that's how I was brought up. And then there was no girls on the crew when I joined, and I've worked my way up in terms of navigator. So I'm on the crew 24 years, and you start off as crew, and the RNLI give you an opportunity, regardless of your background in life, to pursue whatever role you want on the boat once the management is happy with it. My background is I'm a scientist, so I studied science, have a degree in physics, biology and maths, Masters of Biomedical Science. I'm a medical rep by trade, so completely different to the day job this is. But this is my passion in life, and it's my vent from work. It's brilliant. Love it.
What kind of time commitment is it?
It's been very busy up to the new boat coming in terms of commitment. So, a few evenings a week, 2-3 evenings a week. The training coordinator's job is even more. It's been really busy with that, just trying to get the boat on station and everybody up to speed training-wise before it came. So that has been really, really busy.
You'd recommend it for people?
Absolutely. I think it's good to be a volunteer and good to give your time back to the local community, and that's the reason I did it. So my whole passion has been able to bring somebody home. So when you go out to rescue somebody, it's been about being able to bring them back to their loved ones. That's what's important.
Barbara Kirk, another crew member, was also getting ready for the launch.
I joined about 8-9 years ago.
Was it in your background to join a boat like this?
My dad's originally from Clarehead, but I didn't grow up in Clarehead. We moved back
about 10 years ago. So when I moved back then, I decided to join. But my uncle would have always been in the lifeboat, and my dad has joined. He's involved in it since we moved back to Clarehead.
What do you do here typically?
On the lifeboat, I'm crew, so I would just do a mixture of them. Might be on the radar, would be doing anything that's needed to do. I don't have a navigator's role, so I would be doing all the other jobs that a crews are needed to do.
Is it a big time commitment?
It is, yeah. We can give up a few hours every week to come down and do it. It's particularly busy at the moment with the new lifeboat. You don't mind giving up your time because it's something you enjoy doing and you're giving something back to people, so it's worthwhile.
You're getting on all your gear here. I'll let you get out.
Thank you very much.
Back on board, the station mechanic Pops told me how innovative the Michael O'Brien is.
Because this boat is driven by jets and not propellers. That's one of the big differences between the Tamar, the Mersey, the Severns, the Trents and all the other lifeboats. This is the first lifeboat designed by the RLI that actually has water jets.
Why would they do that?
Because it's more efficient, easier, better manoeuvrability. Mm-hmm. With this boat, we can actually make her go sideways.
Okay.
By controlling the water jets in a certain way, you can make the boat go sideways to port, sideways to starboard. You can put the bow of the boat up against the end of the pier, and you can walk all the way along the pier, which you can't do with a propeller-driven boat.
How's she handled? You've brought her back from pool already.
Yeah, it handles very well. First day or so when we were out was really the first time we got a good spin at 25 knots, 25 knots, in any little bit of weather. Before that, we were just only doing training and small bits and pieces around Poole Harbour, Studland Bay and that. So it just took a little bit of getting used to with the manoeuvrability of the buckets to keep the boat under control properly. And once you get used to that, it's little and often on the helm and that just to keep her. Because she's on the plane, it's very easy for the wind to actually blow her to one side or the other.
On the plane, it's mostly out of the water.
It's mostly out of the water, yeah.
What kind of speed would you do?
The RLI want a speed of 25 knots for all their all-weather lifeboats. That's the aim. These can get up to maybe 30, 32 or 3 if you're running with weather and running with the tide and weather and that. But generally, cruising speed is about 2,050 revs, roughly. Gives you a speed of somewhere around 22, 23 knots, nice and comfortable. If you push her on, then you're getting at least 25 knots. If you're in a dire emergency, you can push her on there. You get 25 knots easy at about 85% workload on each engine.
We're in the engine room. What are we looking at?
You're looking at two Scania 650 horsepower engines.
Each bigger than a truck engine.
Yeah, well, they're more or less the same as a truck engine. They're developing 650 horsepower straight out into the water jets. The water jets are pumping out something like 1,500 litres per second to propel the boat forward, each of them. So that's what makes the boat go forward.
How different is this boat to, say, the one you had when you started in Clarehead or in LA?
Going back to about 1982, you had more or less an open deck boat. Then we got one with a canopy on it. But you were still standing up on the deck. You were in there, the weather all right. Then in 1993, the end of January 1993, we left to go to Poole to get a Mersey class lifeboat. And we came home with a boat that was going, the old boat was doing 8 knots. We came home with a boat that was doing 16 knots, so that was double the speed. So that was like going from a Mini to a Ferrari at that stage. And basically what's after happening now, we're after doing the same thing again. We're after going from 16 knots up into a boat that's doing 25 plus. Basically what you have is technology has moved on all over the years. And now we have a boat that's been run basically, as we describe it here, it's like a big computer.
Back on the tractor after a successful launch, the driver, Seamus Boylan, told me about some of the launches he's had.
Yeah, well, the worst one we had, I think, was last year. I launched a storm Ophelia. And the water, the old Mistrita, the water was crossing the cabin. Now, nobody just take precautions and take it easy and take our time and not to rush it too much, you know, because
Storm Ophelia, so the waves, it was an easterly wind?
Easterly wind, yeah.
So waves crashing right onto the beach.
Crashing onto the beach and crashing onto the boat. And the old tractor in and the water was completely crossing and I out in the water. You just don't. You have to wait till the water goes down to make sure it's safe to launch.
But you got away and got back safely?
We got away, no problem, yeah. On the same day, there was actually, I think there was five or six actual fishermen on the boat, so there was no problem going that way, you know.
Yeah, and it made a successful recovery?
Well, we hadn't really, we only had to go so far. It was called off then. There was surfers that were out at Black Rock. The guards raised the alarm. They thought they were in trouble. You have to go when you're called.
What do you think about people like that? You know, there may be surfers or kite surfers. They really know what they're doing and going out in very bad weather. They're probably waiting for the day to go out.
Yeah. Well, they don't see the danger where other people on the shore think they're in trouble. And, like, we get the call, we have to go. Whether it's right or wrong, you just go and that's it. There's no... You don't ask any questions.
Yeah, you're not going to express an opinion on people going out in bad weather.
No, we don't pass, no. It's like makes every kind to make a world, doesn't it? So that's just the whole lot of it, you know, in the nutshell. Like, they think they're safe and we have to go, and that's what it's all about.
And thanks to everybody in the RNLI in Cloherhead. Now, next Thursday sees the start of the four-day Dunleary Volvo Regatta. It's the biggest sailing event in Ireland this year and one of the biggest in Europe. Don O'Dowd is the regatta chairman.
It's biannual. We will be expecting in the region of nearly 500 boats. We are now the biggest event in Ireland and the second biggest in Northern Europe, only preceded by cows. So it's a very big event, and it covers 37 classes. And looking at the entry at the moment, there are 96 different yacht clubs represented.
How, and it's something that's developed slowly over the years, because in the past you had individual clubs with regattas. This comes under the heading of all the clubs getting together every second year.
Yeah, it is the combined clubs from Dunleary. Traditionally, they always had their own individual regattas over the month of July. Back in, I think it was 2005, which was the inaugural regatta, the idea had been floated, I think, in about 2003. Would the four waterfront clubs come together and host a combined regatta? And hence in 2005, the inaugural VDLR regatta took place. Its highest ever was in 2007 when it got to 525. And then with the recession, it unfortunately fell off, but it never actually went below 400. So it's great to see it coming back. And as I say, fingers crossed, we may top the 500 this time round.
Where are people coming from? You mentioned all of those clubs.
There are 96 clubs represented. They're from all over Ireland, from the UK, Scotland, Wales, Netherlands, Hong Kong. So there's a nice international flavour building.
From Hong Kong. It's a special entry. Tell me something about him.
It's Jamie McWilliam. He's sailing a Care 40, and he'll keep us all on our toes.
Class Zero, they're the biggest boats you have.
Yeah, Class Zero are the biggest boats. They're touching on in near the 40 feet. And as I say, Jamie McWilliams will be sailing his Care 40. Then you have Rockabill 4, which is Paul O'Higgins, which is a very quick boat and I think did very well recently in the Dunleary Dingle Race. And then there will be Class 1, I think, in which at the moment the entry is well over 30 boats. And that will be extremely competitive.
You have this new class then, which I haven't heard of before, called the RS Elite. They're a new type of sports boat. Tell me about them.
The RS Elites are quite a modern one-design racing keelboat, three-man boat. We are hosting, actually, their British nationals, which is quite unusual. And we have an entry now of 35 boats. And there will be very hot competition within that class. One of the sailors being Mike McIntyre, who won gold in the Olympics in 1988. So we see that as one of the very strong one-design racing classes during the event.
How do you organise something like this with 500 boats in Dublin Bay? How do you go about it?
I need 300 volunteers to do it. 300 people it takes to bring it all together. And in fairness, they are absolutely superb. They live for the 4 days on the water or ashore doing everything that's asked of them. And it just wouldn't be possible to do it without them. It is, they really are tremendous.
And what kind of jobs are they doing?
We sort of break them into two categories. We have the volunteers afloat, which are basically on the water, and then we have volunteers ashore. If you take the ones who are afloat, they are manning the committee boats, they are manning ribs, they are doing mark laying, a whole host of things. Like your typical committee boat will have 8 volunteers on it. They will be doing timing, they will be doing flag raising, they support the race officer right throughout the whole day. And as I say, a day on the water can be anywhere from 10 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening.
You then have shore volunteers?
We then have the shore volunteers. They will be looking after race office. They will be in all of the clubs helping the competitors.
You have a lot of boats, an awful lot of visitors coming from the UK. Can Dunleary cope with all those people?
We hope so. I think Airbnb will do exceptionally well because we know that all of the hotels are booked out. For example, with the Marine Hotel, we had a pre-booking system with them where we had a block booking of 75 bedrooms. They were sold out before Christmas. Basically, all of the accommodation in facilities in Dunleary are booked out for the week.
And the Dunleary Volvo Regatta starts on Thursday.